Okay, we did it.
Thanks.
We
did it.
Oh God, I'm still scrolling up on the markers.
I have like 23 markers here. Sorry, there was a lot of like, oh, what are we going to talk about here?
It was my bad too, right? I had that whole desync where I was like, I had just continued on without looking at the notes, and it was like, oh, I jumped like four lines.
I mean, it was never going to be perfectly aligned to the notes, so yeah, I'll just have to budget a little time this weekend to go through this. I have this presentation that I'm giving on Friday for an hour, and at first I was like, how am I going to fill an hour? And then I was like, I can fill 2 hours on a single balance patch. And this is about assessment of students with ADHD and or autism, so I'm pretty sure I can fill an hour with that, especially when I include discussion among the students and not just me jabbering the whole time. So now the question is narrowing, and I still have to finish the slides. Mostly what I have to do is I want to put sort of examples of anonymized student work to be like, or, you know, what you might get on an assessment. This is not like formal neuropsych assessment. This is for people who'd be doing sort of more formative assessment for like teaching and tutoring and educational therapy. So if you get this kind of writing, what might that indicate versus this? What are the sort of hallmarks? Like, what makes this look like, oh, this was something that might be more common patterns to see with autistic kids or ADHD. There's one paragraph that I found that I wrote in sixth grade that I'm like, I should include this, but just not say it's mine. Because it's so twice exceptional neurodivergent that I could not believe it when I saw it. So I sent it to Wicked and was like, can you believe this? And he was like, oh my God. I might put that in and just be like, this was from a sixth grader. It was my Egypt report. They still do Egypt reports. It's fine. was the most hyper-focused thing. And lack of ability to determine salience. But really nice sentences. Good synthesis of information. My sixth grade teacher gave me an A and then was like to my parents, hey, we should talk. After I turned in that report. No one who knows me will be surprised to know that it was like 3,000 words.
Oh.
Yeah. The whole thing?
Like the whole magazine article.
Was only,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like a New Yorker magazine article. I was 11. So, now granted, I did spend like a month on it, but but still, it's because I couldn't cut. I put every single, it was about the god Ra. I put every detail in the library about Ra that I could possibly find. In that report, all of them.
Those do seem like some raw thoughts. Yeah.
I had argued the teacher down because originally I was supposed to just do Egyptian religion and then I couldn't narrow it. So then I said, can I just do Egyptian gods? She was like, okay, fine. And then I was like, can I just do Ra, who's like the sort of Zeus equivalent? And she was like, I guess. So then she received it and was like, oh no. Oh dear.
Why didn't I narrow this more?
I should have picked like the most obscure god possible, you know?
Yeah.
But really what I needed was a little help narrowing my scope. But that was not where I was gonna go at that age.
Just Ra between the years of, you know, this.
Yeah, just the early myths. Oh, I was also really annoyed that the myths don't line up, right? Like, there's no canon myth.
Of course not.
Because that's not how myths work, but I didn't know that. So I was complaining to my parents that they don't line up. What's wrong with this? And my parents were like, that's not how myths work. So then I have a whole paragraph in the report. See, that's
different,
like,
people told the story,
yeah,
and they changed it.
Where was their continuity director?
Yeah, I know. I see. I was used to long arguments with my friends about like what was canon in Harry Potter and what was going to happen, and citing, I mean, that's like how I learned to cite textual evidence, was debates over, you know, whether, I guess at this point we wouldn't have seen it, but, you know, is Snape good or not, because the seventh book hasn't come out, and so we're gonna cite textual evidence from previous books. But there's a canon there, even though it's not always consistent.
Yeah.
If it's not consistent, you call it a plot hole.
It's more canon, like comic book lore is canon, where you have multiple writers who may not be talking to each other if they're not paying attention. Yeah. And then Earth 2 and everything else.
By the time that I reached college, I was okay with Doctor Who, which the time travel works differently in like every other episode in Doctor Who. You just have to go with whatever the Doctor says in this episode. Now, there are lots of callbacks. It's lots of things that get brought through. If you're a Doctor Who fan, like, I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying, even something like with the same director. So the Weeping Angels are a very famous enemy in Doctor Who. And the original episode where they're from is like this classic episode. And then there's an episode from like in the third season, I think. There's an episode in the fifth season where they bring them back. And I actually saw them out of order. So I saw the second one first. And in the second one, any image of a weeping angel is a weeping angel and can attack you. But in the first one, that's not true. There are images in it. So when I watched the first one, there was a picture of a weeping angel, and I'm like, oh no, it's going to attack them. And then it didn't. And it was all fine. So it's like, I think it was a cool thing to add. Watching Doctor Who, like one of my friends in college, like, could not watch it because he was like so annoyed at the continuity issues. And I was like, no, just go with it. Just, it's
sometimes you just have to learn to turn your brain off. You just have to turn your brain off. Like,
you just have to trust the Doctor. It's, you know, there are points when they actually like kind of wink at the audience about it, sort of lampshade it, where the Doctor will be like, why do you think time travel should be understandable to you? It's all just timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. It's a direct quote. Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. Or maybe wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey. One of those. I think that's actually literally the same episode with the Weeping Angels with David Tennant. I was really into Doctor Who for about 6 months while I was busy otherwise being depressed and having a terrible time at college. So I was just like diving into Doctor Who and Sherlock as my depressed things to do, which is no knock against those shows. I enjoyed them, but
I remember a lot of things. I watched like a couple seasons of it and then I stopped, and I really should go back to that when I have nothing better to watch and I'm just watching crappy YouTube videos from like Pokemon sellers selling cards at card shows. Like, that would be better than that.
I came to Game of Thrones a bit late, actually, and so I definitely remember a period of college where I was just catching up on all the earlier seasons of Game of Thrones. It was probably like 3 seasons or something. Maybe more than that. I don't know. But I like came to, it was the only HBO thing I watched, right? So I just came to associate that like static and then the big HBO coming up. It was just like, oh yeah, this sound is associated with Game of Thrones, because immediately after that sound, the Game of Thrones theme plays.
Yeah, I have the same thing, except with John Oliver.
Well, so that was then a weird thing that happened, right? Was then later on, after all this binging, I started watching John Oliver, and I was like, whoa, wait. That sound happens, and then this theme play? That's the wrong theme. What's going on?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, now it's flipped, because I watch more John Oliver than Thrones, because Thrones is done, but yeah.
Yep.
Although,
Maureen was trying to get me to watch the new one. She's like, it's not as murdery. I'm like, I'm not interested. Like,
no, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, it's only going to be 6 episodes. It's phenomenal. It's so funny.
I'm sure it is.
Okay, I will tell my husband, because he is like Tonberry with the priest cards. He's like, I don't want to hope
it,
after
I mean,
the end of
can,
Game of Thrones.
You can read the novella too, like if you're, like it's... I think the novella is called The Hedge Knight or something.
I get very queasy at blood and gore, and like,
Well, so so read
and
it,
like,
watch it.
The one time that I ended up accidentally watching Game of Thrones because I happened to walk in at the moment was in the middle of the Red Wedding, and that it's like, no,
not,
I'm done.
Yeah, not yeah. great. Nope.
Yeah. So
yeah, of all points to tune in, I actually haven't seen the Red Wedding. I've seen some other scenes. I saw enough that I was like,
yeah,
this doesn't quite seem for me, even though I believe people that it's amazing and I probably would enjoy it. But also, like, it was so intimidating to get into once, like,
yeah,
like at a certain point I was like, there's too many seasons, I'm not catching up on this.
It's that's the other thing, is that it was, I knew at that point, it was like, no matter how good it was, there was no way that it was going to be as amazing as people had built it up to be, and then there's no point in me watching it, because that's usually how that happens with, like, I like legit offended Maureen when we watched The Princess Bride because I had never watched it. Uh-huh. And then I was kind of like, I just heard people talking about it and I'd never seen it, and then I'm like, well, this is fine, and just like, get out of my house. And but I knew the game. That's the other thing with Game of Thrones, is it's inevitably going to be the same thing. Like, I have to go in with like no expectations. I did with Avatar. Like, I did that with Avatar, and I knew people liked it, but I just like, whatever, it's a kid show. And then I ended up watching, like, oh no, this is actually great. Like, I'm really glad that I watched this.
Game of Thrones also has the shadow of the last few seasons that hang over it, in particular the final season. So like,
yeah, that's like Lost, right? It's the kind of the same thing. Yeah.
I think that's reasonable. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is just a fun, good time, and about, like, you know, honor and what does it mean to be a knight, it's a lot more fun, but there's still some fighting and so
I would also not recommend that you watch The Pit. Even though it has a great autistic character representation, I
could not do that.
I've really been enjoying it, but I don't mind medical stuff, but it is very graphic at times. My husband was joking that they should have like a little character in the corner that like puts its hands over its eyes whenever, right before you need to look away.
Yeah. That was like when
I'm like ducking.
When Maureen and Twin B were going through a house phase. And like that also very often just has like a very like, okay, we're just going to show you this organ getting cut into now for no reason. And
I couldn't watch the parts of Severance where they show the Severance procedure. I couldn't do it. I was genuinely surprised that they showed it at all, because it didn't feel like super important to the show to me, since it's more psychological stuff. But the idea with Severance, right, being that, while you're at work, you don't remember being at home, and while you're at home, you don't remember you being at work. And they do this by inserting a thing into your brain, and they show that operation happening.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, nope, that's nope, not. Great. I can't. Rach, let me know when it's done.
I can often kind of do it. Like, I can really compartmentalize medical stuff. I think maybe, I don't know, having doctor parents. Mm. But it is. For me, like, if I can't watch, like, a video, like, before my husband has a surgery, he will watch a video of it. I cannot imagine doing that.
Nope. No way.
He's, like, asking me, hey, do you want to watch, like, what they're going to do to my elbow? And I'm like, no, you can just describe it. That's
fine. Why would you want to? That's why they put you to sleep, so that you don't need to know what's going to happen.
Like, the fact. As soon as it's like your body or someone that you love's body, that's like harder. Because it's just weird to be like, yeah, your body's a machine and we're just going to treat it like one. I have a good friend who like really can't even really talk about it that much, because it's just so sort of existentially disturbing. You know, she takes care of her body. She knows all this stuff. When she has medical stuff, she deals with it. But like, it's just like, I was teaching anatomy and we were roommates. And so I was learning all this stuff to teach it. And I'd be like, hey, I just learned this really cool thing about it. And she's like, stop. I do not want to hear about it.
Oh my God.
But I was like, oh, it's really cool though. And so I found myself recommending the Pit to her because of some of the characters. And then I was like, she was like, hey, I don't like medical stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, don't watch that show. Do not watch that show. They also show some stuff just to be gratuitous. Like, they in the last episode that they had a woman in who was, like, extremely constipated. And this is, like, a relatively common thing that happens in ERs where they have to disimpact. But they, like, showed that. And I didn't look. Like, I don't... I get it. We're trying to... Like, this is an experience that people have to do if they're working in an ER, but I don't need to see it. It is... If you don't mind that kind of stuff, though, and you're listening to this, The Pit is a really good show. It feels very psychologically realistic. My mom went through being a resident in the ER and was like, you know, there's has a few quibbles, like they don't wear masks enough, which makes sense for a TV show. You want to see their faces.
Right.
But that overall, like, the characters feel really real. The situations feel really real. There's sort of more stuff going on in one day than you would probably have really going on in one day, but they want to show a lot of different things, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I just watch comedies.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'm just excited. I'm excited for the new season of Shorzy in a couple weeks, and that'll be good. The hockey, the Canadian hockey comedy, not the gay hockey show, a different hockey show.
I have not watched that gay hockey show, but rivalry. I feel like
Rachel
growing
watched
up,
it
me
twice.
Read enough modern AU fanfic that sounds exactly like that. That I feel like I know exactly what it is. And I would probably enjoy it. Yeah. My husband's like, not for me.
Yeah.
You can watch that one on your own.
I'm like, I don't need to. I've got enough hockey stuff I can watch that I don't.
I've also heard Interview with a Vampire is good. I watched some of it.
It's good. Yeah.
It's good.
I did not finish it.
Yeah, exactly, right? I started it. What I saw was good. Not motivated to finish it because there's just other stuff I'm interested in. God, I'm like super behind on Free Ren, which is like one of the best anime.
I keep, because my oldest like is into that and I keep meaning to put that on my list. I started watching a couple episodes of Delicious in Dungeon finally and that was pretty good.
Oh.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I still need to watch that, Delicious in Dungeon.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down again.
I'm sure
I have it written down in like three places.
There's a Blue Sky account that does anime alters of magic cards. And there's very often will go into Free Ren.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know nothing about it, but I send it to my daughter. I'm like, hey, here you go. There you go. There's a Free Ren thing. Okay. I don't know anything about it other than knowing that she likes it. So
it's one of the strangest like first several episodes of a show. I think at that point the time length slows somewhat, but in general I think the show takes place over years, and in the case of the very beginning a great many years, because it's like you start after the hero party has saved the world with the main character being this elf for whom this was a fun little jaunty adventure that she, maybe not fun, but you know, like just a blink of an eye of her lifespan. And then, you know, oops, she comes back and the main hero of the party is an old man. And she's like, oh God, where did the time go? Like, yeah. I'm about to lose you. And it has felt like nothing to her. And so it's like her kind of figuring out how to value time in a different way, you know, kind of more the way humans do. Figuring that out when she didn't have to do that before.
And that can always be an interesting space, the sort of elves and humans and, yeah.
Kind of like that show Ghosts. It's kind of the same type of thing.
I don't know that one.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. It's on CBS, where a woman has a basically falls down the stairs, knocks her head, and all of a sudden she can see all the ghosts that are living in her that have been living in her house. And they're it's a comedy, so it's like
sure.
So like one of them's like a Boy Scout leader who got shot through the neck with an arrow. And so he's still got the arrow stuck in his neck because they're like all, you know, but, you know, he's fine. He doesn't feel it. And like, there's like a Viking who was stranded there. He's been like living on the property for 1,000 years. And there's a finance bro who has no pants on because he was like in the middle of a hazing thing.
Dear.
Yeah, it's a fun show. And then, you know, like all the things, like they finally have somebody in the living who can hear, who can like see and hear them. And then they, you know, oh, you know, can you change the channel to put on, you know, bodices and birthrights or whatever on the television? And oh, can you, you know, can you make some food? Cause we can smell it, cause they can't consume food, but they can smell it. Like, so they're like trying to order like cinnamon twists so they can smell the cinnamon twist. It's a fun show.
Nice. We should probably
find someone to raid. Yeah. Let's see who we can raid. Tito's streaming, so we'll raid Tito. All right. It's nobody else. Yeah. I think we raided him last week, but I think he's the only one who, I mean, we could raid No Hands, but No Hands doesn't need the help really. So all right.
No. All right.
Thanks everybody. We may or may not be streaming next week depending on how things are released and stuff like that, but we will let you know in the Discord. So have a great night. Bye
bye
bye.